All right, hello everyone. It is 4:30, and I believe we have quorum, so we will go ahead and get started with the Urban Design Commission. Jess, if you could please note the roll. And to start off, do we have a motion for approval of previous meeting minutes? Jessica. Seconded by Anina. Okay, great. If there is no discussion, then by unanimous consent, the previous meeting minutes are approved. The next item of business here is general public comment, which I do not see any general public comments registrants this evening. So then we'll move on to disclosures and recusals. Do we have any disclosures or recusals this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Julie, could you please provide us our instructions for a virtual meeting?
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our virtual meeting. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. For commission members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. In addition, please use the raise hand feature to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or to note your vote in the event of a roll call vote. The Chair will do their best to call in commission members and staff in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. For development teams and members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. There is a 3-minute speaker time limit for individual speakers and a 10-minute time limit for development teams. Staff will let you know when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. You will remain muted until the chair calls on you to answer a question. If you need to share documentation with the commission, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be turned off. Back to you, Chair.
Thank you. Next up, Jess, if you could provide us with an agenda overview.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair, and good evening, everyone. On this meeting's agenda, there is only one item, so this is probably the shortest agenda overview I've ever done. This happens to be one public hearing item number 2, 655 through 667 South Whitney Way and 601 through 649 Sam Pearl Lane. This is a comprehensive design review for signage. The UDC is an approving body on this request. And with regard to this item, since we do have several new folks on the commission, I did want to give a brief staff presentation after the applicant's presentation before we jump into the commission's discussion and questions. Also, we do have a special guest with us this evening, Matt Tucker, the Building Division Director, who is also available to answer questions. But with that, I'll hand it back over to you, Chair, to kick things off.
Okay, thank you. With that, I think we'll jump right into that first item and only item for public hearing this evening. So 655 through 667 South Whitney Way, 601 through 649 Sand Pearl Lane. And Julie, if you could just please tell us who we have registered to speak this evening, then they can go ahead and get started.
We are welcoming Mary Beth Browney-Celine and Danny Afable with Bridget Hart registered to answer questions.
Okay, thank you. Applicant team, whenever you're ready, you can get started.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Danny Afable with JT Klein and the development team. And today we're bringing to you our signage package for our University Park development, which is at the former Westgate Mall. And we're just getting into our second phase of development here, adding buildings 4 and 5. And with that, we thought it was important to have good identification signage, wayfinding signage for each of these 5 buildings that are really thoughtful and at least work really well with the aesthetic of the entire project and while reflecting individual buildings to help residents, guests, and any contractors find their way throughout the site here. So what you have on your screen here is our potential, I believe the projecting sign is that on the screen. And so this one would be coming off If possible, Jess, would we be able to go to maybe just the site plan? And I can talk through just the couple signs in question here. So this is the overall site. To the bottom left is where the Hy-Vee is. To the north is the site plan here is going to be Whitney Way, just to help orient yourself with it. And we have a handful of signs. Some are monument signs, some are canopy signs, and then there's a projecting sign. On going through the numbers here, number one is going to be a projecting sign that we're proposing on the corner there. Thank you for highlighting that. 4A right next to it will be a canopy sign facing out towards Whitney Way. 4B will be a canopy sign facing into the courtyard. And one thing to note here, these two buildings are actually separate buildings. There's no connecting between them. One is an affordable senior project, and the other is a market rate project. So they are two distinct projects that will share the same parking lot. Continuing on with the signage, 2A.1 will be a monument sign that helps designate traffic into the senior building there. 3A.1 will be a monument sign designating the workforce projects, and then 5B.1 will be a canopy sign. And if we could just switch over to the pictures of the signs, I'll just walk through them really quickly. Perfect. Thank you. Either one of them is fine. Just to highlight the monument sign, so these ones will have monuments that will have the same color brick that's used on the building, so that they are kind of specific to the project and help with the wayfinding for each of the projects here for the 2A.1 and 3A.1. The canopy ones, we thought it would be important to have canopies on both sides of the building with foot traffic and potential bus traffic coming in through the entrance to the top of the screen here off of Whitney Way. So that'd be easy for people to find their way in there. And then if you're parking and using a vehicle, the 4B1 would kind of designate that signage there. And if we could switch over to the projecting sign, I think that would be one that would make sense to discuss in a little bit more detail. What we have proposed here is the name of the project, the West End building that would be hanging off of the side of the building. And we think this works really well with the scale of the building and with Whitney Way being a very high traffic area with a lot of car, bus, and bike traffic going through there. We wanted to make sure that as people are kind of coming past at a high rate of speed, they'd be able to identify their the building that they're stopping at there. So part of the thought process of this projecting sign was to help identify this building and then really the project as traffic is coming by. And we do have a monument sign that's on the other side, and part of the reason why we're asking for this group to review today is that with one side being on Whitney Way, we think this projecting sign works well with the monument side as traffic can come through a couple different sides of the building. And with that being said, I think that covers our presentation of the building. I'd be happy to stay on and answer any questions when we get to that point.
Okay, thank you. And then Jessica Vaughn, I think you mentioned maybe having a presentation to follow. Is that right?
I really just wanted to provide a summary of the staff analysis and recommendation, as well as an overview of the intent of the CDR process. I'm not sure with some of the newer commissioners, I'm not sure how many of these we've looked at. So I just wanted to provide that general overview. So first, with regard to process, the purpose of the CDR is to really allow for exceptions to the city's sign code for signage that is one. Of an enhanced design aesthetic as well as consistent across the signs in the package, but that is also proportional to and appropriate for the context in which it's sitting. And thinking about what that might mean when we start applying that concept to signage, it's signs that may be highly articulated with like push-through lettering or logos or signage that may use like non-traditional shapes. So instead of seeing squares, maybe we're seeing circles. Or other polygons that we typically don't see with signage. Signs that may use non-traditional or unique materials that we don't typically see with signage. It may also mean that signs may be cross, may be mounted on buildings that, or across architectural features or on architectural features. Or that are also larger in size than what the code would allow, but ultimately that are in scale with the building on which they're mounted. And then two, also that signage, recognizing that a sign exception may ultimately be necessary for identification purposes of an establishment, but that is based on a unique or unusual design circumstance in the building or its location. So thinking about what this might mean, we're looking at like significant building setbacks from the street, right? So you need to have a larger sign or a taller sign so it's actually visible because it's so far set back from the street. Or a really large tall building, like 14 stories versus the 4 stories, right? So it warrants a larger sign to be proportional to the mass and scale of that building. Or that there's limited visibility due to high traffic speeds, like thinking about some of the ones that we've done on like the Beltline Highway, right? Where people are going 55 plus miles per hour versus a lower classification of a street where the speeds are slower and visibility of signage at different sizes is more possible. And topography, right, also plays a role in that. So maybe the site sits below the street or maybe it sits higher on the street and which limits the visibility of potential signage. So those are the two primary criteria that we're functioning in when we're trying to evaluate any sort of exception that we're giving to our sign code. And it's really important that when staff and the commission are evaluating CDR requests, that we tie our review analysis and ultimately our recommendations and findings to these CDR criteria. More specifically, thinking about this application and how we moved through our review and analysis. Ultimately, the CDR is required because of the proposed projecting sign, which is limited by the two proposed ground signs to 12 square feet in size. All other signage included in this package is compliant with the sign code. So if the applicant wanted to forget about the CDR and just pull permits, they certainly could for the above canopy signage and the ground signage. They could also pull a permit for a 12 square foot projecting sign, but that's not the case. We're looking at a 31.55 square feet projecting sign, which is larger than what the code would allow here. And because this is a CDR application, we're not just looking at the projecting sign, right? We're looking at all of the signage against all of the criteria for the CDR. And just really generally, the staff conclusion and analysis was that ultimately staff did not feel that there was any objection to the sign code compliant ground and above canopy signage, but that we did have concerns related to the proposed projecting sign. We did not believe that the CDR criteria had been met based on the size and proportion of the sign relative to the building, or that the sign is of an enhanced design aesthetic or consistent with the other signs in the package in terms of materiality, colors, those pieces. In addition, staff did not believe that the necessity for the larger sign mounted high on the building has been fully demonstrated as well. Thinking about different size signs and locations on the building and the target audience, which is like vehicular traffic or pedestrian traffic or bike traffic, and where that line of sight really is relative to that signage and the signage accomplishing the goal, right? So just thinking about how the sign was placed on the building, not only relative to visibility, but also relative to those architectural elements and datum lines as well. For these reasons, staff has recommended that the UDC refer the item for additional information or deny the request outright. In either event, it's going to be important for the commission and your deliberations to be as specific in motion, to be as specific as possible in what, if any, additional information is needed for the commission to make findings, if we're going to refer the item, or in the commission's findings for denying the request. So with that, Matt and I are here to answer questions, but I'll hand it back over to the commission for questions, comments, and deliberations.
Okay, thanks, Jess. Do we have any questions? Yes, Jessica.
Yeah, I hope this isn't a stupid question. I understand the sign saying University Park Commons is for the senior living, and then Oak Ridge is for workforce, and then the other ones kind of have an address. But what does West end mean? Is that the whole complex together? I'm
So that's a
asking the
question maybe
applicant.
for Danny.
Yeah, if I can just chime in. That is the name of that building. It'll be called the West End at University Park.
Is it just that building is West End, or the whole all?
Yes, that's correct. That just that building is West End. University Park is kind of the larger scope of the project.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I have a question for Jess Vaughn. I think in the staff memo report, it mentioned that an alternative process does exist to allow exception to the sign, which could go up to the 32 square feet. Am I reading that right? And so is this just a matter of process and protocols?
Yeah, so this there is an alternative process, right? It's called a modification to sign area, setback, and height. In that case, you're allowed to request a sign that is 50% more in size, height, setback than what the code would allow. So what that means is through that process, the applicant could request a sign that is 18 square feet. Anything larger than that does have to go into the CDR process, which is where we are today.
Okay.
And that's also why the applicant team provided that additional graphic in the application materials. So they're showing a 12 square foot sign, right? What the code would allow. They're showing a 32 square foot sign, what they're asking for, and then they're showing something in the middle. But ultimately, that one in the middle is what would be possible as part of that secondary process.
Okay.
I will
So
say that application would also require review and approval by the Urban Design Commission. But instead of being that kind of like a two-tiered process, design isn't as heavy of a consideration in that as necessity, right? So you're still looking at the same criteria, similar criteria related to necessity for the demonstrated increase in size. And that was have to do with prevailing speeds on the adjacent right of way, the look at setbacks and things like that. But ultimately, design doesn't play as big of a role in that review as it does in the CDR process.
okay. And just to play some hypotheticals here, if the commission felt like the 18 square foot was aesthetically the best, kind of proportional to the building and most cohesive with the general design package, that 18 square foot projecting sign is not approvable through the CDR tonight?
It would be because it is
Okay.
while it's larger than what the code would allow, and so we're in the CDR process. CDR is not the right process for that, though. It would be the sign exception, which is a different application request and fee and things like that. But if this UDC wanted to approve that as part of the CDR, we would have to make findings not only related to the size of the sign, but also and the necessity for it, but also the design of the sign. And so I think it's again coming back to that two-tiered conversation, right?
Okay.
I do think the cleanest thing would be is if the applicant has requested a sign that's 32 square feet or just under that, right? And that's the proposal in front of the UDC. And to keep it as clean and clear as possible, we need to address that request. If they want to come back with a sign modification request, they can certainly do that with a smaller sign, and that's what we would evaluate at that time.
Okay. That helps clarify it for me. Thank you. All right, any other questions for the applicant, for the staff team? Rafiq.
For me, signage is very difficult for me. It's I feel like it's easier to get a building built than to get signage approved because there's so many, like you just talked about. So what I thought was very clear, Jessica just confused me. So My question is for Matt, because Matt is he always provides a little bit more information than what I was thinking about. So can you just weigh in on this, Matt, from your perspective and what options they have? Because it sounds like things are allowable, but under maybe different means or methods or processes.
Sure, I could try. First, is my audio coming through? Because it never comes through when I'm on UDC. Can you guys hear me okay?
It
Yes.
never does, but we hear you today.
That's really weird. Let's celebrate. Something to celebrate. I think sort of the bottom line of this, if you think about it, is that the CDR is a special thing. It's a very special high design review and approval mechanism for the commission to be able to take a look at all the signs that are on a site and use the very powerful flexibility associated with that in consideration of those standards to assure that the signs are appropriate and of high design, scale, placement, all those good things that you look at and go, wow, that's a package of very cohesive, high quality signage that works, and so we can take this sort of out of the sign code. When we look at this projecting, I mean, as Chris as Jess mentioned, all the signs are permitted except for that projecting sign. Like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the projecting sign, and it isn't really. I mean, it's a pretty basic sign too. So the best way to go, I mean, for something like this, is to utilize that special exceptions for up to 50% increase for a scenario where you would have a sign that needs to be larger because of its context and placement and whatever, like on Whitney Way, a six lane divided with a boulevard place. Now, it is not going to get a 32 square foot sign, but this building is really proud to the street. I don't really know if it's necessary for a residential building like this, or it's a mixed use building, I think. I don't know, but it is a mixed-use building. But then again, to have a larger projecting sign than how big the code allows, but for under this comprehensive design review part of high design. So that's the concern we had. It's sort of like it's really hard. This one is really hard because the signs, all the other signs look really nice and they're allowed by right. It's this projecting sign that's simple that is putting us here, and they're just it just. We just didn't feel like it had the what it took to get to approval for comprehensive design review. I hope that
Well,
helps.
if this sign is if the blade sign or projecting sign is the only one that's not approved, it can be, I guess the process that's clean is to deny it because it's to deny it because it's under the wrong thing, and then they come back for just a larger sign allowance, right? Is
I mean,
that what I'm
you
hearing?
could do that. I mean, you could also refer it, which sends, with your words that help explain that you have some concern about it not meeting the standards. The intent of the referral is to have them potentially come back and, with a something that responds to the referral. If you don't think this qualifies, then the right step to do is to deny it. And we know, as we've been speaking here, that they have that right to come back. I mean, they could put a 12 square footer up, and they could also come in and put a variance up, and it's probably a highly likely variance. We've looked at it to get up to 18, given the size and width and speed limit of this road and where this building sits. Does that help?
Yeah.
Right, thank you. Harry.
Thank you. Yeah, brief question for the applicant. First of all, thank you for providing the sort of size comparison. I thought that was super helpful. Could you just sort of like briefly take me through your process on how you guys arrived at this specific size? I mean, I understand the desire for a larger sign given the context, but I'm just sort of curious how you got to where we landed here tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we started at was kind of going through a couple different sizes and having Ryan Signs mock up. And I think the three that we presented were a few of a lot of different mockups that we looked at. And we've gone from actually physically standing on site and kind of walking up and down Whitney and even driving past on our way to construction meetings. So we kind of went through and did a couple comparisons of it. I think the 12 foot one by no means fit the scale of the building. We just thought it was really hard to see. And as we were kind of going through, even with the flow of traffic, it just felt like you're going by so quickly. And that was kind of where we landed on the justification for a bigger one. So we went through a couple different exercises to try and, simulate how our potential applicants and tenants and guests would be going through and navigating their way to the building. And that's kind of how we landed on this size here.
Great, thank you.
All right, any other questions? Or if not, any other comments or motions? Harry.
Yeah, just a question for you, actually, Chair. So are we going to close the question and answer portion, or are we not doing that structure because this is a CDR? This is actually my first CDR in like 6 months, so.
Okay, yeah, no, we'll still do that structure. So
Okay.
if there are no other questions, I'm ready to move on to just, comments by the commission. Jessica.
Yeah, okay, I'll start commenting. It's a handsome sign. The compliant one is silly, the proportion of it on the facade. So I understand not wanting to do that one. I guess I would make a motion to refer it. That's the one where they can go ahead and move on with everything else and then apply to maybe come back and have this reviewed as a possible 18 square foot sign. Is that what referring would do? I'm sorry, still kind of confused.
That is a good
No.
question. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll, oh, you want to go ahead, Matt?
Sure. So the special exception, and maybe I should just clarify that, is a different process. So you have what in front of you have is an application for comprehensive design review. The special exception, it would be like one option would be to refer this, and they could abandon it if they wanted to. They don't have to. They could abandon it and come back and just apply for the special exception, which is handled completely separate from any other sign on this property. It is literally looked at for its context on the building, the streets, how it's viewed, that kind of situation. It is not part of the comprehensive design review. But if you think that there is merit to further the comprehensive design review, take feedback from the commission and revisit this in a future meeting, you can refer the comprehensive design review request onto a future meeting. Is that helpful?
Okay, I think I got it. I think what I'd like to do is deny it, and then they can come back if they want about this sign.
And I think the proper motion is always to approve, and then the vote is to not is. So it's not awkward. Jess, maybe you can help out with this. The approval, the motion and the votes are designed that way,
Well,
right?
since we're an approving body on this, I would actually make a motion to deny this request,
Okay.
and state the reasons why we're denying this request. And I think it sounds like one of those reasons is the size, right? And so all of our findings related to the denial should be a guide for the applicant if they were going to apply for that modification process. Right, so it's to decrease the size of the sign to be in more proportion to the scale of the building and to X, Y, and Z, right, is why we were denying it. But all of our findings for the denial need to be based in those two criteria. that are outlined in the staff report and that I referenced earlier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. And do we also add into that that all other signs are approved?
Well, we don't need to actually approve them because they can permit
Oh,
those.
they're compliant. Okay, never
Yep, they're
mind.
compliant with the sign code.
Okay, I guess if we're still on this motion, I would make a motion to deny it based on it not complying with size recommendations. The design of the sign, I have no problem with. That's not the issue, it's the size.
Okay, thanks, Jessica.
I will
Do we have
second.
a second? Okay, thank you. The motion is seconded. Do we have any discussion on that motion? David.
Thank you, Chair. This is more about the staff report. I think something else in there, and I'm not trying to make Jessica change her mind or anything. But there was some comments about the overall aesthetic and different sign aesthetics from one sign to the next. I don't know if that's something that we want to address. And if we don't, if you're fine with it, like I said, I'm just bringing it up since it's in the report. Yeah. And as Matt was saying earlier, the CDR, it's a high design review. The sign wasn't super high design. But if we're denying it, I guess now probably it's maybe irrelevant and more relevant for them when they come back. Seem correct? Am I understanding correctly?
Thanks, David. And I think what I heard from Jessica in her motion is that she was okay with the design. And the design of really the entire CDR package, but it's just the size of this proposed projecting sign that was the issue.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, if there's no other comments, we'll go ahead and take a vote. Roll call vote. All those in favor of the motion to deny, please signify by raising your hand. Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you, everyone. And thank you to the applicant team. I hope that, although it's a deny, I think that does still provide you some clear direction in how to proceed here. Thank you for your presentation tonight. So that was our only public hearing item. With that, it brings us to schedule and secretary's report.
Yeah, so there was a Plan Commission meeting on Monday, and there's one item to report out on from that, and that was the 501 East Washington at the corner of Franklin and East Wash. That project was conditionally approved at Plan Commission on Monday night. Let's see, looking ahead to our next regular business meeting, that will be July 16th. That is also looking a little bit on the lighter side as well. We have three items, but I believe there's an informational presentation submittal date coming up here on Monday, so that may grow. But right now, we have just the three. We'll be looking at another CDR. The 3500 block of University Avenue in North Meadow will be coming back for final approval. And then we'll be looking at the plan development and Tulane Avenue, which was for a community center and a multifamily. Family housing development. So we'll be seeing those three things for sure on the 16th. And that's all I have for the secretary's report, other than I did want to mention that tonight is Harry's last night. And so I wanted to thank Harry for his effort and participation in the Urban Design Commission. Thank you so much, Harry. I know that people usually don't like to sign themselves up for additional night meetings and work, but you've been a great contributor and you will certainly be missed. So thank you for your time.
Thanks, everyone. I really appreciate hearing that. It's been a really fun ride. Just couldn't really make it work time-wise, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Harry. Yeah, we will miss you too. You're one of our power motion makers, and your time on the commission has definitely been appreciated, so thank you. Okay, that then brings us to business by members, and I think we have a couple elections this evening. So we have elections for both chair and vice chair. And it feels like we just did this, but I think it's kind of getting us back to our normal cadence of when we should be doing elections. Jessica, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
Okay.
so we're required to do them in an odd number of years in June. And so since this is our last meeting, I wanted to make sure we were doing that. I know we did it late last year, I think, but we did have a transition period where Cliff had left us and we did need to fill some seats in relatively short order. So this will definitely get us back into our regular cadence. Keep in mind that this is definitely a longer stint, right? So I know it seems like it was only about 6, 7 months ago, but it'll be an every other year election that we do.
Okay. And keep in mind, you can nominate yourselves, right, for either position. And then just to be thinking ahead, I think we'll do that first. The second part of the elections this evening is for our next meeting. I, as the chair, will be recusing myself on one of the items, the Tulane Avenue item, and our vice chair will be absent with an excused absence that evening. So we need someone to just fill in for that one item on the 16th. So yeah, we would appreciate if someone could kind of step up and help just run the process through that one item. Okay. Yeah,
Before we
go
get
ahead.
into that one item, I think it's probably going to be cleanest if we do nominations and acceptance of nomination and start with like the chair and then go to the vice chair. And then for the July 16th meeting, I will say that whoever kind of volunteers for that position, I will send an appointment. I do an agenda overview with David and Shane prior to each meeting. And so that person, it would be great if they could also show up to that meeting. It's usually the Wednesday before our commission meetings, and that's when we kind of walk through the agenda. And if there's any questions related to any sort of items or protocol or process or anything like that, we cover them prior to the meeting, of course. So just know you're not jumping in cold. So there is some additional meeting that happens prior to, so everybody feels comfortable when we get here.
Thanks. Okay, so I guess let's start with nominees for chair. Do we have any nominees for chair? Jessica?
Shane, I think you're a wonderful chair, and I nominate you.
All right, thank you. I accept. Rafiq.
No, that was a second.
Okay.
And a third, motion passes.
Okay. Any other nominees? Otherwise, let's see. Do we just have to take a roll call vote, Jessica?
Yep, we can vote.
Okay. Harry, oh, are you voting?
No, I was going to say that I'm just going to recuse from all these. It seems weird that I would get input, so just wanted to throw that out.
Okay, we'll make note of that too in the roll call vote here. Anina?
I'm
Oh, you're
saying
muted.
yes. I'm saying yes.
Okay. So all those in favor for me continuing in the chair position, please signify by raising your hand. All right. That's everyone except me. And well, actually, I don't know, Jess, if I do vote for this type of election or not. But we have Harry recused and the rest are in favor.
Yeah, usually the chair abstains from voting unless
Okay.
it's to break the tie or change the outcome of an event. So,
Okay. Regardless, motion
regardless,
passes.
yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, do we have any nominees for vice chair? David?
That was actually left over from before.
Okay. Jessica?
Yeah, David, I think you do a fantastic job as co-chair or whatever it's called, and I nominate you.
Thank you. Thank you. I accept. I have a feeling it's, yeah.
I agree. Thank you for accepting, David. Do we have a second to Jessica's motion? Nick, is that a second? Okay.
A second.
Thanks, Nick.
Yep.
Okay, all those in favor of Commissioner McLean as our vice chair, please signify by raising your hand. Okay, again, that passes with Harry recusing himself and the rest in favor. Excellent. Thank you, everyone. Now for our July 16th meeting. Do we have anyone willing to step up to the plate? It's not that bad, I guarantee it.
Now that you said that, Shane.
Yeah.
It's only one item.
It's only one
Are
item.
you taking nominations for this too? I nominate Jessica.
Is more of, I'm hoping for a,
Absolutely
just a
not.
volunteer. So it could be, yeah, it could just be a volunteer. It doesn't have to be a nomination system.
Yeah, I
So.
volunteer Harry. So he has to come back.
I'll do
Gonna
it.
have
I'll do
to
it.
turn that one down. Yeah, I think.
Rafiq, is that a volunteer? Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you,
But
Rafiq.
Rafiq, I will be in touch with the Wednesday before meeting.
Okay, great. Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other business by members? If not, we can enjoy an evening to ourselves again. All right. If there's no other business by members, no other discussion, then by unanimous consent, we are adjourned at 5:13. Have a great evening, everyone.
Well, thank you too.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Thank you.